And that's what we're here for, right? This is a victory celebration, right? My wife was sharing with me a while back, and she was sharing with me that they were talking in class, and one of the little kids was like, you know, Jesus died on the cross, and he's dead. And she said, yeah, but he didn't stay dead. He rose on the third grave, amen? Hey, listen, we come today, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. We're going to talk about what the death of Christ means, what his crucifixion on the cross is all about. But listen, we do that with the backdrop of the fact that he's won the victory, right? That he wears the victor's crown. And everything that we have today is because of the victory over death and sin and the grave. Amen? Some of you need to tell, your mind needs to tell your face that. Okay? Hey, listen, man, we ought to get excited about this, man. We ought to be able to rejoice and get excited about what Christ has done through his death, burial, and resurrection. Hey, I want to ask you to find your place with me this morning in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 7. I'm gonna refer to this John chapter 8 a little bit, just as a kind of a passing there, but I really want to focus on Ephesians 1 here. Back in the late 1700s, early 1800s, there was a man who lived by the name of Solomon Northup. Solomon Northup was an African American who was born free. He was born to a freed slave, and his wife was a woman of color. She was free, and they had a farm up in upstate New York. And Solomon was born of this free mom and dad. He was born as a free African-American, and he had a great musical talent. He played the violin. He was a professional violinist. And so he was offered an opportunity to come to Washington, D.C. and join a group that would travel and play music. And so he left upstate New York, came to Washington, D.C., where slavery was still legal at that time, and he was drugged, beaten, and the whole thing was a ploy, and he was sold into slavery. He was sold to a plantation owner down in Oil's Parish and outside of New Orleans area there. And there he served 12 years as a slave. Until finally, on January the 3rd, 1853, he was able to regain his freedom again. It's an interesting story. In fact, it's so interesting they made a movie out of it. Anybody ever watched 12 Years a Slave? It's a really powerful story of redemption. You see, here's the question for you and I this morning. Is there a date that you can point to where you regained your freedom? The Bible says that we were all born and created in the image of God, right? Hello? Y'all track it with me? Okay. But the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've fallen short of the image that God created us to be. And the Bible says that the wages of those sins is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We don't have to stay bound to that slavery of sin. There is a freedom that has been offered to us this morning. And this morning, if you've never experienced that freedom, and it's my strong desire this morning that you would experience the freedom that Christ paid for you. Listen, in John chapter 8, verse 31, it says this. He's talking to the Jews, and they're having this debate. And he says to those there, the Jews that believed, who believed him, said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And they responded to him and said, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you made us free? Their argument was, we're a chosen people. We're Jews. We're the children of Abraham. We've never been in bondage. Forget that 430 years that we spent in bondage in Egypt, right? We've never been in bondage. And there's some folks today who would say, you know what? I was born in a Christian home, had good parents. I've never been in bondage to sin. The reality is, we've all sinned. And then Jesus goes on to say here, Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave to sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. This is the only way you and I can have the freedom from sin is through Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. And he says here in that verse, he says, in Him, that's Jesus, capital H, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Powerful verse this morning. I want you to look with me at it. Notice, first of all, here, we see that we need to have a conscious acknowledgement of the person of His redemption, of our redemption. Notice it says, in Him. That is, that God has made Christ a second Adam. The first Adam came and sinned. The second Adam came and lived a perfect life. He came and provided a way for you and I to have this relationship with God. And it is Jesus Christ whom we read about in other places of Scripture. It says that God, having in time past spoken unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. And by Him alone. For there is no other name given among men where we can be saved. There is one and only one way that we can be made free. And that's through the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen? He is the only way of salvation. He's the only means for you and I to be reconciled back to God. You know, you hear a lot of sermons preached, and I don't know, maybe you're not as critical of a spirit as I am. Sometimes I think I have the gift of criticism. Anybody else have that gift? I don't know. I think some of you do, but you just won't admit it. It's easy sometimes to criticize what somebody else is doing, what somebody else is saying, right? Especially when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, right? But nevertheless, so I hear preachers preach, and I'm like, I don't know if I'd have done it that way. I don't know, you know, all those kind of things. Well, there was a young preacher who really wanted to have his sermons kind of critiqued. So one day, Jonathan Edwards was this great pastor back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And Jonathan Edwards was there. And so this young man asked him, he said, I want you to critique my sermon. So after church, he asked him, he said, well, how was it? He said, that was the most pitiful sermon I've ever heard preached in my life. Be careful what you ask for, right? Just don't worry about it. I'm not going to ask you how the sermon was today, okay? And if you come out and say, oh, that was a wonderful sermon, you probably slept. I don't know. But listen, so he said, what do you mean? He said, I was true to the text. He said, no. He said, you never mentioned Christ. He said, but you know, we have to stay true to the text. And the text that I read from today, it didn't mention Christ. Jonathan Edwards said, I don't know if the name of Jesus is in the text or not. But the whole point of the text is Jesus. It's your job as a pastor to read the text and make a beeline to Jesus. Friend, this morning, if you don't hear anything else I have to say, I want you to understand this morning, there is no freedom anywhere, any place, other than Jesus Christ and Christ alone.
Amen.
A number of years ago, it was getting this time of the year, it was in May, we were recognizing our graduating seniors that day. And so I was trying to make a presentation and a challenge to our seniors about graduating and going on in life and what they would build on this foundation that they had received in their education. And so I used kind of an allegory, if you will, of the three little pigs. Remember the three little pigs? One built their house with straw and one of sticks and one of brick, right? You know? And I shared about how we build our houses and what we build and all those kind of things, and I talked all about it. The next week, one of the grandparents came and said, you know, said my granddaughter graduated and her boyfriend was in church Sunday. He's of another whole different set of beliefs. They don't believe in Jesus. And he said, you know, he said, I was a little disappointed. He said, I really thought that I would hear just all this stuff about Jesus, and I heard very little of Jesus today. And it broke my heart. And I thought, man, I don't want to ever preach again that I don't make sure that Jesus is front and center of everything we talk about. Amen? Listen, it's in Him. It's in the person of Jesus Christ that we find our salvation. It's in what Christ did. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 says, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Listen, our redemption is in Christ Jesus and Him alone. Listen, your redemption is not in coming to church. You've got to go to church. But if all you think is, well, if I just go to church enough, I'll be redeemed. Listen, you can start going to church 9 months before you were born. You'd still need Jesus to be redeemed, right? It's not in all the religious activities that we do. Our redemption is not in that. Our redemption is in Christ alone. Listen to this verse here in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul writes, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people. Zealous for good works. We do what we do. We serve. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We want to come and worship. We do all of those things out of a heart of gratitude because we're zealous for God. Because we're appreciative of what He did for us. We don't do it to entice Him. We don't do it to earn or merit that. We do it as a response to Him. So all this stuff that we do doesn't redeem us. All this is saying, God, thank you that I am redeemed. Amen? Hello, come on. That's what we do. Right? We want to be grateful for what God has done. And so, understand this morning, let's be consciously aware of the person of redemption. But then there's a second thing in this verse, and I want you to call your attention to it. We have to count the price of redemption. Notice what he says here in the text. He says it's in Him we have redemption through His blood. It's the rich red royal blood of Christ that paid the price for our salvation. Listen, this is a great cost. He says later in chapter 2 and verse 13, but now in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, I get it. It's kind of gory to talk about. It's a little weird when we start talking about blood sacrifice and all these kind of things. But if you think about it, Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve originally sinned, the Bible says they took this fig leaf, tried to cover themselves with it, right? Because they realized that they were naked and they were ashamed and they were embarrassed. But God took and sacrificed an animal and covered their nakedness. It's the shedding of blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We think about this, that there's a passage over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Beginning in verse 12, it says this. You remember in the Old Testament, they would take the blood of lambs and they'd take the blood of bulls and they would offer up these sacrifices and ask God for the forgiveness of their sins. And every year they had to do that on a daily basis. They had to do that, and it was just a constant thing. And then in verse 12, it says, now with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own, not with blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works and serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. So when you go back over to the Old Testament, you see where Moses, where God instructed Moses to go through the sacrificial system, taking the bulls, taking the lambs, offering those sacrifices, sprinkling that blood on the altar as symbolic of them being cleansed from their sins and them having to do that constantly over and over again. All of that being a foreshadowing of what Christ was going to come and do once and for all to pay for the redemption of mankind. What an incredible sacrifice that God gave. That Jesus would come and lay down his own life. What an incredible price. My first church.
Got to start all over again. I wouldn't even know. If you open your Bibles today to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In him, the person of redemption, through his blood, we see the price of that redemption. That incredible price that's been paid. My first church, I went to the hospital to visit a guy, and he was about to have open heart surgery. And they told him that he was going to need so many units of blood on standby for this operation. And they said, if people will come and donate blood in your name, then you won't have to pay for those units of blood. And so I went in, Miss Marianne, and I told him, I understand they're collecting units of blood so that you don't have to pay for it. I said, I just want you to know, as your pastor, if you come up a unit short, I said, you ask the doctor how much a unit cost, and I'll pay for it. I said, I'm not giving you my blood. I said, I have a real rare blood type. I have a type M. Mine. God gave that blood to me. It's mine, right? It's funny how God changes things, and you know, then you have a kidney removed and you get used to needles. Well, not really used to them, but you just start to learn to deal with it, right? Hey, listen, Jesus freely gave. Jesus told Pilate, he said, you don't take my life. He said, I lay it down. Jesus freely gave his life, shed his blood, so that you and I could have the forgiveness of our sins, so that we could be redeemed and be made back in right relationship with God. What an incredible, incredible gift. Amen. So when you think about it this morning, when we think about the fact that our redemption is in him, in the person of Jesus Christ, understanding that Jesus Christ was God, come in the flesh, left the splendors of glory, left the riches of glory, left the right hand of the Father, came here and died on the cross for our sins. Paid the ultimate price so that you and I could have salvation. What an incredible story of redemption, right? But notice where this verse goes to. He says here in the text, he says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It is not only that we acknowledge the person of redemption, not only that we have to count the price of that redemption, but then we need to celebrate the prize of that redemption. You need to understand what it is that Christ has really done for you. The fact that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, shed his blood, was buried in the grave, rose on the third day so that you and I could have victory over sin, death, and the grave so that we could have eternal life. John writes in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, says, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. That's a good word, propitiation. That's fun to say. Say that with me this morning. Propitiation. So you learned a new word this morning, right? What does that mean? What is propitiation for our sins? He's saying that his blood was the price. It was the sacrificial price. It took our place. His blood took our place to pay for our salvation. What an incredible gift that he's given us. The forgiveness of our sins. Listen to this passage in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. It says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a, here's our new word again, propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. God looked at you and said, you're guilty. And your punishment is death and hell and damnation for all of eternity. And then he stepped out of the judge's chair and he came along beside you. And he said, not only have I convicted you and condemned you, but I will also pay the price for you. I will take your place. I will become your propitiation. What an incredible relief this morning. Amen? And that's what we celebrate today, right? Come on. Somebody, if you've been forgiven, you ought to be celebrating, right? Man, I'm telling you, you must not be as big a sinner as me. Because I'm telling you what, man, when I look at my life and I see all the sins, I'm telling you, I have much to be forgiven from. Amen? Paul says, those who have much to be forgiven have much to rejoice, right? God says, those that have been forgiven much have much to be thankful for. I have a whole lot to be thankful for this morning. Listen again, in Psalms chapter 32, it says this, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. You think you're blessed because God's given you a good house. You think you're blessed because you drive a new car. You think you're blessed because your health is pretty good. You think you're blessed because you got a little money in the bank. Listen, if that's all that God ever blessed you up for, you are most pitiable of all people. Because none of that stuff lasts. Man, what God has given me is not my health and not my life and not my happiness. Not all. Listen, the greatest need that God ever provided for me was the fact that he forgave me of my sins. Man, time and time again, Jesus said to the lame man, get up and walk. And oh, by the way, your sins are also forgiven. What was the greatest miracle? Not that he walked, but that his sins had been forgiven. Hey, listen, when he cast out the demons, it wasn't the miracle of casting out the demons. The miracle was that he saved the man from his sins. I'm an old simple guy. There's a lot I don't understand. My first church was in the dairy country, man. We had dairy farms all over the place. I never understood how a black and white cow could eat a green grass and produce white milk. I don't know. I don't figure that out, okay? I don't understand how a holy God would love somebody as unholy as me and be willing to die on the cross for my sins and take my place so that I could be forgiven and have eternal life with him. That's the greatest miracle of all. That's what we celebrate. Man, we sing, My Redeemer. And we sing all these songs. And look like we had lemonade for breakfast, you know? I mean, look like we've been sucking on sour lemons even, you know? And just all pooch-lipped down in the dump. And listen, man, I'm telling you, praise God, we've been forgiven of our sins. Amen. That's the great news. That's what Christ came to do. That's the victory that we celebrate today. And listen, this morning, when we observe the Lord's Supper, His broken body. His shed blood. Not so that we could just have an easy life. Not just so that we could have fun. Not so that we could just have all of our little problems solved. But so that we could have our sins forgiven. That's the great celebration. That's the great prize that God has in store for you this morning. January 3rd, 1853, Solomon Northup regained his freedom. And the question this morning is, can you look back at a date or a time? You may say, man, I don't know what day of the week it was. I don't know what the day on the calendar was. I don't know either. But I can take you, preacher. I can take you back to the place. I can take you back to the moment. I can take you back in time when I knew that God had revealed himself to me. I came to a realization that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And I asked God to forgive me of my sins. I asked him to come into my heart to be the Lord of my life. And I'm telling you, I can look back at that time and I know that I know that I know that God made an eternal change in me that moment. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever experienced that? Listen, if you've never experienced freedom in Christ Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity today. If you've never come to that point and place where you would give up all that you understand about yourself to all that you understand about Christ Jesus, today can be that day. Say, you know what, I don't understand a lot of stuff. I don't know any Bible verses. I couldn't stand up and quote anything. I couldn't say anything. But I know this. I know there's things that I've done in my life that were wrong. That's a sin. I understand this much. That I've sinned. I've missed the mark of what God intended for me to live. That's all I understand about me. And I don't know all this theological stuff about God and Jesus and all that. I don't understand all the technical things there. But I do understand this much. That I believe that Jesus is who he says he is. He's the Son of God. And I believe that he came to this earth. And I believe that he came and that he died on the cross. And I believe that he was buried. And I believe that he rose again on the third day. And I believe that he ascended to the Father. And I believe that he's coming back again one day. And I believe that he did all of that so that I could have my sins forgiven. So that I could be in right relationship with him. That's all I understand. Then this morning, would you just put your trust and faith, what you understand with yourself, what you understand about Christ Jesus, and just say, God, this morning, this is all I know, and so I'm coming to you. And God, here I am. I want to be in right relationship with you from this moment on. God, we'll figure all this other stuff out along the way. We got all of eternity to do that, right? Amen. Amen. So this morning, come to Christ. It's in him and him alone that we find our salvation. Would you bow with me this morning? With their heads bowed and their eyes closed. Just in this moment, just you and God having a moment together. And you may say, you know what? I can't even put all that into words. But you might just say, God, yeah, what that preacher just said. That's all I understand. God, just all I can say is, God, yeah, just exactly what that preacher just said. Put your trust and your faith in that, in him. Maybe this morning you say, you know what, Pastor, I can go back to that time. I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. Every year, man, we celebrate our birthdays and man, we rejoice over another year. When's the last time you celebrated and rejoiced in another year of your relationship with Christ? Man, this would be a good time to celebrate, amen? To say, thank you, God. God, I thank you that long ago, I trusted you as my Lord and Savior. God, I thank you for what you've done through the years. And God, I thank you for what you continue to do in my life. So today would just be a great day of celebration. Would you celebrate today? Would you give Him praise and glory today? Father God, this morning we come humbled in Your presence. God, we've opened Your Word this morning. God, we've shared, God, the redemption story. God, the redemption that You offer to us, it can only be found in Christ Jesus. God, we come to this time of the service, God, where we respond back to You. God, You've spoken to us. Now, God, it's our turn to respond to You, to say yes, say no. So, God, this morning in this invitation time, God, I ask You to have Your will and Your way right now. God, we'll be sure to give You the praise and the glory and the honor. So, Father, this morning we love You and we praise You and we ask You all this in Christ's name. Amen. Mike's going to come lead us in a hymn of invitation. Would you stand with us this morning? Would you stand and sing with us this morning? Would you come to Christ today? Would you surrender your all to Him this morning? Would you receive the gift of salvation?
When the hour had come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired this Passover week before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given to you. Do this in the remembrance of me. And he said, likewise, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Timmy, would you just thank God this morning for his broken body, the bread of life that was given to us?
Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you humble again, Father, just thanking you for the many blessings you bestowed upon us this morning, Father. Father, we just ask that you allow us to take this bread in remembrance of your body. The body will allow us to serve you in a way that only we can do again. Father, we just thank you again. Amen.
Failed to mention, here at Trinity we do practice open communion. You're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you follow him in believer's baptism. We invite you to join us this morning. And listen, this is the bread. Moses was in the wilderness with the fathers. God sent manna to them, fed them daily. Jesus, the New Testament says, this is the bread that came out of heaven. Not the bread that Moses and your fathers ate, and they all died. He said, he who eats this bread shall never die. And then Jesus took the cup. He said, this is the fruit of the vine. He said, this is my blood, which is shed for you. Stephen, would you offer a prayer today? Thank God for his shed blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness.
Thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for what your blood on the cross has done for us as Christians. It has enabled us to have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for what you do for us each and every day. I use things in Jesus' name.
Says in Hebrews, it says, apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. All things are purified by the blood. The Bible says in Mark, after they finished this mealtime, all the disciples went out celebrating, singing. So we're going to leave this morning singing, okay? So Brother Mike's going to come and lead us in a closing hymn. But before we sing, just a couple of things that I want to make you aware of, a couple of opportunities this week. So tonight, we'll still have our small groups tonight. Next week, Easter, we won't meet. But then following that, April the 16th, some of our small groups will be meeting, but we're going to be doing community projects. We're going to be with Beautiful Deliverance. We're going to be doing some things in some of our members and things around town, lifting lives in different places. And so come be a part of that. We'll be serving a meal this Thursday night at Lifting Lives. And you can see Billy and Sandy for that. and help us out. Also, there's a sign-up sheet if you'd like to be a part of this in the welcome area. As you go out the doors here, just right there on the right, you can sign up. And if we have enough folks, we can go do several projects each week. So we would love to be able to do that. Also, this week, we're going to be preparing Easter baskets for those that have been in the path of the tornadoes. So at our Warren Baptist Association office, it's off of Indiana Avenue, just on the other side of the interstate there, kind of behind Battlefield Pharmacy there. And so if you want to be there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday mornings, starting about 9 o'clock or so, they're going to be putting Easter baskets together. And then next Sunday morning there in Rolling Fork and other places, they're going to be having Easter egg hunt there for the kids and that sort of thing. So if you'd like to help do that. If you can't be there to put baskets together this week, but you'd like to help, I think they're going to take up some money. So $5 they think would do a basket. So if you want to do four baskets, that'd make a good $20 bill, right? And something like that. My math is correct. So I want to encourage you to help be a part of that type of ministry as well. And then we're closing out. We're receiving some things for Beautiful Deliverance, hygiene, personal items, that sort of thing. There's some baskets in our welcome area and as well in the back foyer also. So if you'd like to help support those ministries as well, we'd appreciate that also. Okay. Hey, it's been a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Man, we're celebrating. What are we celebrating? My sins have been forgiven. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand this morning and let's sing. Okay. Let's do that.